The Voting Rights Act is back before the Supreme Court today. The law was enacted 44 years ago and repeatedly upheld by the high court. This time, though, the nation has its first African-American president, and those challenging the law say Congress no longer has any justification for intruding on state and local elections. NPR Legal Affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg reports.
The provision at issue in today's case applies to specific jurisdictions where discriminatory practices were once routine. It requires them to get approval from the Justice Department before changing voting procedures. So, for example, if an Alabama town wants to change polling places or change an elected board to an appointed board, it has to get permission first from the Justice Department. The provision covers all of 9 states, mainly in the Deep South, plus Arizona, Alaska, and Texas. It also covers parts of 7 states, among them New York and California. In 2006, Congress held weeks of hearings about this provision and concluded that while progress had been substantial, it wasn't enough to justify allowing the preclearance provision to expire. Republican Congressman James Sensenbrenner was the chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, who oversaw extension of the law.
The Voting Rights Act is the crown jewel of American civil rights laws passed during the 20th century. Congress recognized that on a huge bipartisan vote in both the House and the Senate.
Indeed, the law passed the Senate by 98-0 and the House 390-33. Even members of Congress from covered jurisdictions overwhelmingly voted to extend the law for another 25 years, and President Bush enthusiastically signed it. But that did not end the controversy, and those challenging the law today see the preclearance provision that applies to only 16 states not as a crown jewel, but as a scarlet letter. Lawyer Gregory Coleman.
It's a scarlet letter that declares that these people are not trustworthy to enact fair voting rights laws that will protect everybody's right to vote.
Coleman has more than an advocate's interest in this case. He recruited the district that's challenging the law, known officially as Northwest Austin Municipal Utility District No. 1, and informally as Canyon Creek. It's a small development in Austin, Texas, where until the 1980s there were no houses or voters, and where there are now 3,500 people, 80% of them white, according to the last census. The utility district has a 5-person elected board that manages a local park and pays down bond debt. The district has never been accused of discrimination, and when it wanted to change voting procedures, it easily won approval from the Justice Department, with minimal legal costs of $233. But as the chairman of the district board, Bill Ferguson, puts it,
frankly, we're a very progressive community, and it's a little bit embarrassing to be subject to this preclearance issue when we have no history of discrimination and have done nothing but try to encourage people to vote and to be active in their community.
There is a bailout provision in the Voting Rights Act for localities that can prove 10-year compliance, but it applies only to states and counties. So the lower courts have ruled that this little Texas district would have to get the county it's in, Travis County, to seek a bailout, and Travis County doesn't want a bailout of the Voting Rights Act. So opponents say the bailout provision is an empty promise. The states of North Carolina, Arizona, California, Louisiana, Mississippi, and New York, all covered by the law in whole or part, have filed briefs in the Supreme Court urging the justices to uphold the law. They say it's a model of efficiency and swiftness and low-cost compliance. Only Georgia and Alabama have weighed in as critics of the law. Opponents say that in a new century, when the nation has just elected its first African-American president, there's no need for a law based on a formula Congress drew up 25 years ago. Voting Rights Act supporters say the law is still needed. They note, for example, that in many places with long histories of discrimination, voting is still polarized along racial lines, that in Alabama and Mississippi, fewer than 11% of white voters supported Barack Obama. Stanford Law Professor Pam Carlin.
Saying, let's get rid of the Voting Rights Act is a little bit like saying, the doctor put some stitches in, so you're not bleeding anymore, let's just rip the stitches out.
Nonsense, says Mr. Coleman. He notes that the Justice Department blocked voting changes in fewer than 1% of the places that sought preclearance.
That you have such a minuscule rate of objections that the declaration that state and local officials are presumptively not to be trusted in this area simply cannot be borne out.
But supporters of the Voting Rights Act reply that the whole point of the preclearance provision is to prevent attempts to discriminate. They point to hundreds of examples, more than 100 in Texas alone, in which the preclearance provision prevented elaborate schemes to suppress minority voting. In one county they cite, it took decades to win the right to vote for students at the historically black college. Then in 2004, county commissioners, aware that students would be on break during the primary election, voted to reduce early voting dramatically. The county only abandoned this effort after the NAACP complained to the Justice Department to see if the provision had been pre-cleared. John Payton of the NAACP Legal Defense Fund argues that without preclearance,
not only would we see all of these hundreds of proposed changes come into existence, we'd see others come out of the woodwork that would in fact infect and pervert our democracy.
But Gregory Coleman and his allies will tell the justices today that the Voting Rights Act is an affront to state and local sovereignty and the right of localities to conduct elections. It is, he maintains, a divisive law not authorized by the Constitution.
The way it has been done locks us into the past. The way it's being justified is, you know, well, you have a history of discrimination, so we're going to continue to presume that you cannot enact a fair voting law.
The NAACP's John Payton agrees that much progress has been made, but he says not enough to abandon the preclearance section of the Voting Rights Act, known as Section 5. He notes that the nation amended the Constitution after the Civil War to protect the rights of the newly freed slaves.
It says specifically, with respect to racial discrimination in voting, Congress has the power to do appropriate things to make sure we don't have it. And that's what Section 5 is.
All of these arguments and more will play out before the Supreme Court today, as they have in the past. But this time, there are new and more conservative justices on the court. Perched at the center of the bench will be the Chief Justice, John Roberts, who, as a young lawyer for the Reagan administration, spearheaded an effort to prevent expansion of the voting rights law and even opposed the extension President Reagan eventually signed. As Chief Justice, he's also been critical of the act, in one opinion declaring, quote, "It's a sordid business, this divvying up by race." Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.